Sing them over again to me.
Christ is risen. We rejoice in the risen Christ as we welcome you to this weekly program from Words of Life. Our program is sponsored by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers who want to tell you about Jesus, the Christ. This week, our speaker, Brother David Johnson, will use Acts chapter 3, verses 13 through 15 to speak to us on the topic, Glorified His Servant Jesus. We will hear Brother Johnson in a few minutes, but first we praise our Lord with song. Sing along if you know the words.
He joins us here, he breaks the bread. The Lord who pours the cup is risen from the dead. The one we love the most is now our gracious host. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord.
We are now a family of which the Lord is head. The blessing he meets us here in the breaking of the bread. We'll gather soon.
Lord, we come before you in prayer, rejoicing that Jesus is risen and he is our Savior. Help this broadcast to make Jesus known for all who hear. Bless each of our listeners with health, peace, and a right relationship with you. We seek your special help and protection upon the persecuted as they follow Jesus. Your word promises that Jesus is going to come back for his church at your appointed time. Help us to be ready, looking forward to him. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Brother David Johnson, in his sermon today, will present Glorified His Servant Jesus.
Thank you for listening to these Words of Life broadcasts as we strive to share the Word of God wherever this broadcast goes in order to encourage the believer and exhort the unbeliever to come to Christ, to be saved, to be heaven-bound. The title for the lesson is Glorified His Servant Jesus. And our text is taken from Acts chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. Please listen to the Word of God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified His servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the Holy and Righteous One and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. This is the Word of God. It is fitting that a supernatural person should both enter and leave earth in a supernatural way. This is, in fact, what the New Testament teaches and the church believes. His birth was natural, but his conception was supernatural. His death was natural, but his resurrection was supernatural. These are the words of John Stott, a thoughtful writer, in his book entitled Basic Christianity, a fine book to read along with your Bible. John R.W. Stott also suggests, quote, "Perhaps the transformation of the disciples of Jesus is the greatest evidence of all for the resurrection. It was the resurrection which transformed Peter's fear into courage and James's doubt into faith. It was the resurrection which changed the Sabbath into Sunday and the Jewish remnant into the Christian church. It was the resurrection which changed Saul the Pharisee into Paul the Apostle and turned his persecuting into preaching." End of quote. Let's look closer at Simon, son of Jonah, or the Apostle Peter. In his radical transformation, after he was an eyewitness of the risen, glorified Lord Jesus Christ, Peter went from being a scared denier to a bold declarer of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Our scene is found in the third chapter of the book of Acts, as, quote, "Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Now a crippled man from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts." Acts chapter 3 and verses 1 through 2. Continuing in verses 6 through 8, "Then Peter said, Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God." Why do you think he jumped? He was so very happy as a young lad being able to walk, as Peter, by the power of God, was able to give him that ability again. All the people in the temple courts were astonished, having recognized the crippled beggar walking and praising God. So Peter boldly addressed the crowd, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus." Verses 12 through 13a. Why did Peter state glorified his servant Jesus? With these words, Peter indicated from the get-go that Jesus' suffering was finished and that the God of Israel had raised and glorified or exalted Jesus to a position of prestige at his right hand, having accepted his atoning sacrifice and raising him from the dead. His death at Calvary may have been man's last word, but the empty tomb was God's last word. That Peter had miraculously healed the crippled man in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Acts chapter 3 and verse 6, was visible proof that Jesus was alive as accredited by God. Then Peter, with sledgehammer boldness, hammered his message toward his guilty Jewish listeners, piercing their hearts, not just their ears. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate. Though he had decided to let him go, you disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. Acts chapter 3, verses 13b through verse 14. That is, the Jews yelled, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Let his blood be on us and our children!" They chose the releasement of the murderer Barabbas and condemned the Holy One to be murdered on a cross. Matthew chapter 27, verse 19 and following. Then Peter made a most startling statement. Acts chapter 3 and verse 15. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. John MacArthur, a fine commentator of Scripture, writes, quote, Peter has been presenting a series of paradoxes. Although Jesus was a servant, God exalted him. Christ was their deliverer, yet the nation delivered him to Pilate. They rejected the holy and righteous one in favor of an unholy, unjust murderer. Now he comes to the greatest paradox of all. They put to death, according to the New American Standard Bible, the prince, or the NIV, author of life, while asking for the release of the one who took life, the murderer. Prince of life here refers to the originator, or author, pioneer, or beginner of something. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10 uses the same original Greek word in the phrase author of salvation. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 12, it describes Jesus as the author of faith. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 15, Peter uses it to describe Jesus as the originator of life. That is a claim of deity, of divinity for Jesus. As Psalm 36 and verse 9 describes God as the fountain of life. The New Testament repeatedly describes Jesus as the source of life. In the prologue to his gospel, John writes, In him was life, and the life was the light of men. John chapter 1 and verse 4. In John's first epistle, he adds, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11. Jesus also claimed to be the source of life. In John chapter 5 and verse 26, Jesus said, Just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. Jesus declared to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies. Gospel of John chapter 11 and verse 25. End of quote. So imagine the cost that the eternal, pre-existent Son of God, Jesus Christ, paid, who is the author, originator of life, who actually voluntarily laid down his life in death for parts of 3 days and three nights, as reckoned by the Jews, in order to save mankind from its sin. He loves us that very much. But God raised him from the dead, verifying that the Son's atoning sacrifice on the cross was fully accepted by the Father, vindicating his beloved Son's perfect sacrifice to turn away the wrath of God, to thereby appease his justice. There's a beautiful story about a Sunday school teacher who asked the children to bring plastic eggs on Easter Sunday to class. Each child was to fill their egg with something that symbolized the meaning of the resurrection of Jesus. On Easter, each child revealed their items in their eggs, to which the teacher amplified and reinforced each of the symbolic meanings. For example, One child had a tiny flower in her egg. So the teacher emphasized about new life that springs forth at Easter time. Another egg had a small nail, so the teacher elaborated on the cross. Another child had a small stone, so the teacher explained about the stone that guarded the entrance to the tomb where they laid the body, the dead body of Jesus of Nazareth. But the teacher was dumbfounded when the last child opened his egg. The child was a mentally challenged boy, and the egg had nothing, absolutely nothing, in it. So the 7-year-old child exclaimed, "Not to worry, it's full of emptiness, just like the tomb of Jesus." His was the best lesson of all. A wonderful story of the children. Warren Wiersbe, a fine Bible scholar, also has wise words to impart to all of us. Quote, "Because of Good Friday, you can look back and not be afraid. Because of Easter, you can look ahead and not be afraid. Because of Ascension Day, you can look up and not be afraid. Because of Pentecost, you can look inwardly and not be afraid." And so, dear listener, let us continue rejoicing as we look forward to seeing Jesus face to face, and certainly not be afraid.
There's a garden where Jesus is waiting. There's a place that is wondrously fair, for it glows with the light of His presence. Is the beautiful garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden, the garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden of prayer. There my Savior just to learn from His lips words of comfort in the beautiful garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden, the garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful Savior awaits, and He opens the gate to the beautiful garden of prayer. There's a garden where Jesus is waiting. Can aught with with his glory compare. Just to walk and to talk with my Savior in the beautiful garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden, the garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden of prayer. There my Savior awaits, and he opens the gates to the beautiful garden of prayer.
This Easter time is especially encouraging, but only if you're a Christian. We pray that you have made the important decision for Jesus, and if we can help you by answering questions, or if you'd like to have a free CD of this and last week's program, please write to us and ask for program number 2216. That's 2216. May God bless you. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana, 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana, 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life.
Sing them all.